Now joining us to cover issues sporting, and in particular cricket, we're joined by Australia's number one cricket caller, without doubt, the extraordinary Jim Maxwell. Jim, good morning.
John, nice to be talking with you. Welcome to Radio National. Lovely to hear your voice there.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to be here. Now, we've just heard that Sachin Tendulkar has announced his one-day retirement. Now, has he handled the retirement issue better than Ricky Ponting? Can we compare the two here, Jim?
The difference would be that Tendulkar retiring from anything would be a massive blow to the whole commercial activity of India, because there's no doubt this man is the biggest brand cricket has ever seen. So he carries with him the hopes of many supporters, commercial supporters, every time he goes out to bat. I mean, he's a walking billboard. So, I mean, really, he can... he's a deity, basically, in India, if that's not sacrilegious to say so. And when you look at his stupendous record, which has been pretty good until the last year or so, like Ponting, and yes, you could say that it is time to go from all forms of cricket, given that his numbers are declining. But he has such a stupendous record, he's probably bought that time, given that, as I say, he's the greatest commercial entity the game's ever seen.
Yeah, and yet Ricky Ponting chose to leave the longer form of the game and stay with the shorter. The little master has done the opposite.
Well, in Ponting's case, he was pushed, let's remember that. I mean, he was dropped from the one-day side. He was never dropped from the test team, although he was running it pretty close to the end when you looked at his numbers. So I think in Tendulkar's case, retiring from all forms of the game's probably not far away. He may play this series coming up against Australia in February and March, from the look of it, but there's probably not a lot more going after that. I mean, he must be exhausted. He's been playing for 23 years, and he scored 34,000 runs and played over 700 matches. I mean, it's an extraordinary record, really, just to keep going for as long as that, to have the hunger for the game.
Well, yeah, how old is he, Jim? Is he older than Ricky?
He's 39, yes. He started playing when he was 16,
That is an extraordinary hand-eye coordination, Jim.
Ah, just a genius. You know, look at the numbers, averaging 44.8 in one-day cricket and still averaging 54 in test cricket with 51 centuries. So if he does play, everyone will want to watch that series against India that's coming up, because that might be the curtain call.
Yeah. Jim, you may not know, and I'm not across it, but how well did he do in the series, the test series that India just lost to England for the first time in 27 years?
He had some conspicuously poor dismissals, but he did get 76 in the penultimate game of the series, and everyone was hoping that he was going to get another 100. So there was some evidence of a bit of form, but like Ponting, very vulnerable early on.
Yeah. Now, moving on to Boxing Day, Jim, do you expect Pup to play? And is Pup still called Pup, or have they gone to Mike?
Well, I think he'll suffer, Pup, if you throw it at him. Yeah, he's okay. He's still a youngster. He's 50-50, it seems, with this hamstring problem. So I think there's a fair chance, given the go the cautionary route, conservative route these days, that Watson will be leading and Clark will be resting. I mean, they've got this other curious policy with the rotation of fast bowlers. I mean, they get rotated out of the side anyway because they're always getting injured. But because they're fearful that Stark might get injured, it sounds like he's not going to play after bowling so well the other day. But gee, I don't know, for mine, is this a policy they're going to have when England are here for the Ashes? It'll be good discussion point if it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, bloke Stark's age, the more cricket they play, the better, I would have thought.
Well, I seem to have this concern, you know. They've got all these people on the payroll now, sports scientists and the rest of it. They're all justifying their existence. So they're saying that he's had such a strenuous workload that he's on the point of breaking down. Well, he might break down with a week off when he comes back for the game in Sydney. I would have thought most of the time, if a fellow is fit, you'd want him to play. But this is the new world that we're living in.
Now, just finally, if Watto is to captain, has Watto ever captained anything at any grade, you know, in junior level? Has he ever had the C after his name?
He's captained in a one-day game, yeah. He's done that for Australia. But now he doesn't have much experience of that. But there's a pretty good committee around him, so I'm sure he'll be okay. But whether he can come up with the kind of tactical instinctive moments that Michael Clarke's capable of pulling, the, you know, the wicketkeeper, give the wicketkeeper a bowl or something like that. In fairness to Clarke on that score, I mean, he's thrown Hussey and David Warner into the attack since he became captain, and they've picked up valuable wickets. So, that sort of imagination can work. I don't know whether that's Watto's game or what it will be, but the problem for Watson is that he can't get any runs. I mean, it's now something like 34 innings since he made 100. He's not too sure what his best position is in the batting order. It's probably opening, but Cowan and Warner have secured that. So he really needs to get his game together. That's why I would have thought that the captaincy could be a distraction for him.
Indeed. Well, Jim, we look forward to listening to your ball-by-ball coverage. It is still compelling radio.
Thank you, John. I hope everyone has a happy Christmas before they tune in on Boxing Day. But we'll be there with some information and a few laughs.
Indeed. Jim Maxwell joining us. Thanks for that.